The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
This is something that is probably a likely contributing factor, is that the COVID mRNA vaccines do carry a cardiovascular risk. And I've actually called for the suspension of this pending an inquiry, because there's a lot of uncertainty at the moment about what's causing the excess deaths. Some of it will be ambulance delays. My own father, who was reported on BBC News in late 2021, I was the first to actually highlight the ambulance delays, because my own father suffered a cardiac arrest at home and the ambulance took 30 minutes.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, I don't know how much of that you were able to make out. Yeah, it's probably very difficult where you were. I apologize about that. There was some news, a cardiologist from BBC says that a likely contributing factor to excessive cardiovascular deaths that we're seeing is COVID mRNA, the vaccine, and the rollout should be suspended until, you know, further inquiry. That's a bold statement. It really is. It's a bold statement. I saw that. My colleague, Patrick Madrid, the other day, he had addressed this issue very briefly, and I was talking to his producer on the show, and he says, oh my gosh, he says, you can't believe the response. They started taking calls on people having health problems after getting vaccinated for COVID. And, I'm going to ask you, you're more than welcome to join in right now. We're going to be joined by Dr. Paul Alexander. He's going to be joining us here in just a quick second. I'd love to get your take. The number is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Did your health change after getting the COVID vaccine? I know a lot of people have gotten the vaccine and it has not. And then again, we see a lot of other things, you know, blood clotting, myocarditis in young men, heart attacks. A lot of people have questions about Damar Hamlin. And was it just the hit that did that, or was it related somehow to the vaccine? First of all, this obviously touched a nerve with individuals. There's a priest in the Diocese of Green Bay, Wisconsin. His name's Father Ed Looney, and I'll play some of his audio a little bit later. He talked about the fact that ever since he got the second shot, two shots of the vaccine, he got them in 2020, 2021, I think is when he said he got it, he had an elevated heart rate. He said he couldn't get off the couch to get a glass of water without his heart rate going from 140 to 170, somewhere in that range. And he actually just got out of the hospital as a result of it and put up a video. And a lot of people, of course, have been speculating about Buffalo Bill safety Damar Hamlin having a similar issue. You know, seems unlikely for such a young man. Well, maybe. You know, all those football games, all those hard hits, that didn't even look like a tough hit. What an amazing story his is. But there are stories like that of Hunter Brown, a 21-year-old offensive lineman at the Air Force Academy who was just walking the class on Monday. And this guy literally dropped dead. He dropped dead. Why are young men dropping dead, right? Is it vaccine related? Again, I'm just asking the question. There are all kinds of stories out there about people who are inexplicably, you know, dying. In fact, there's a Twitter hashtag of, quote, died suddenly, listing all kinds of headlines of ordinary people all over the country who have suddenly died. So I'm willing to bet that there will be people who will be speculating the same thing for Lisa Marie Presley, who died suddenly of a cardiac arrest. But we can't say every death is related to that, you know, and I do want to caution you regarding that. We can't say just because somebody has a heart attack it's related to COVID. But here's the thing, and we'll get Dr. Alexander's take on it. The mRNA vaccine, it has been linked to myocarditis. That's a condition where there's inflammation of the heart muscle, and it's been affecting young men. The CDC, they say it's rare. I don't know how rare it is. The claims that, you know, they're not rare have been censored, supposedly. There's a doctor, Asim Malhotra. He did manage to speak about it for a couple minutes on the BBC the other day, and he did it by sneaking it in while he was talking about another subject. So we'll talk about it. You can join me, 888-914-9149. Let me welcome Dr. Paul Alexander. He's a former assistant professor at McMaster University in evidence-based medicine, former COVID pandemic advisor to the World Health Organization's office in Washington, D.C., and a senior advisor on COVID pandemic policy at the Department of Health and Human Services, authored a bunch of books too. You can check Presidential Takedown and a lot of other things. WHO conspired to overthrow a president, amongst others. Hey, Dr. Paul, welcome. It's good to have you with me today.
Hey, Drew, thanks a lot for having me back on your show. It's always a pleasure. And your listeners could find a lot of what I'm going to say on my Substack, Alexander COVID News. Thank you.
Alexander COVID News. Is it Dr. Paul Alexander or Alexander COVID News?
Just, once they Google Alexander COVID News, you will find me.
Wonderful. We'll check that out. Well, I want your take on this. I know Dr. Risch, who's been on the program. Is there evidence to show that there's a link between the rise in cardiac deaths and the mRNA vaccine? I mean, it is kind of strange. So many young people are dying of heart attacks.
Well, absolutely. And the thing about it is the media, the legacy media, and the right now the Biden administration, and the vaccine developers, Pfizer, Moderna, everyone at CDC, NIH, FDA, they want us clamped down and shut up and be worked, canceled, because the evidence is vastly accumulating now. And you've hit the nail on the head with the died suddenly, because when we look at the different studies, we are seeing, like there was one recently published by Chu et al., I think in the European Journal of Pediatrics, that showed about 17% of the adolescents looked at in that study had some sort of cardiac dysfunction post vaccine and myocarditis. And what we're seeing is that we have a flurry all of a sudden, like that Damar Hamlin guy that you spoke about in Buffalo. I mean, no one has told us why. His medical team came on the news and talked a bunch and didn't tell us why this happened. And like with Dr. McCullough, who I work with, Dr. Risch, who I work with, we are seeing that absent of any clear diagnosis, we have to deduce, because we're in the era of this mRNA vaccine that is vaccine-related myocarditis and the subsequent cardiac arrest. Because remember, we have research that shows us that in contact sports, in that environment, you substantially increase the risk of cardiac arrest. And I think what the listener needs to understand is what we are seeing in the data is this. We are seeing a bunch of people dying in their sleep and just before they awaken. And we couldn't understand why, but now we're beginning to see the research is telling us that as you awaken, the adrenals flood into the bloodstream, catecholamines, which are dopamine, epinephrine, norepinephrine, adrenaline. It's used the term adrenaline. And that helps you rise because it lifts the heart rate, lifts the breathing, lifts the pulse, etc., because you are waking from sleep. That situation happens also on the field when you are running and exercising and playing soccer. There is a flood of catecholamines into the bloodstream. Here's the problem. The problem is that if you've taken these mRNA shots, the Pfizer and the Moderna, particularly the second dose onwards, particularly the Moderna shot, and particularly for males between the ages of 16 to around 24, 25, what we are seeing is that you at times have what we call silent myocarditis. That means that when you took the shot, and this is what parents need to understand, we have a bunch of young men running around with silent myocarditis. That means there was some damage due to the vaccine. No one knows because it's asymptomatic. Only if you went for some kind of clinical check and they looked at the heart and they saw the heart was inflamed, elevated troponin, irregular electrocardiograms, etc., then do we know that something was wrong and they will go further. The problem with the silent myocarditis is that myocarditis means that heart muscle dies. It imposes a scar on the heart. The myocardium gets scarred, a piece of it.
Right.
So you as a young person, you can't feel that deficit yet because you're young, physiologically, anatomically, you're very strong and fit. So these young guys continue on in their life. And what we're seeing is when you hit 35, 40, 45, and deficits begin to accumulate in your life, you know, the heart doesn't work like it did before because you're getting older. That myocarditis deficit, the scarring in the heart comes knocking because the heart is not working optimally. The problem, what we're seeing now with all of these Damar Hamlins and they, which we argue this is the issue, is when they have the silent myocarditis and they're on the field and adrenaline is pumping, flooding the bloodstream, it stresses the heart. It places the heart under duress because the heart is under demand.
Right.
That stress is too much. And the heart goes into cardiac irregular rhythms and die. And it stops.
So
that is the issue.
Dr. Alexander, let me just, and I want to get to a few phone calls for you, but before I do that, if this is the case and there is some scarring early on, are we going to see in the decades to come more men die perhaps of cardiac arrest than we normally would?
Well, we are seeing absolutely, and it's happening now. I mean, let me ask you a question. JJ Watt, we didn't see his medical profile.
No.
He didn't share his, but he, prime of his life, 33.
And retired.
He, apparently the news was reporting that his heart went into atrial fibrillation.
Wow.
So he came out and said, I had to go to emergency to shock my heart back into compliance.
Wow.
And then he announced that he was going to retire. If you Google it now, you would see JJ Watt has retired.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
He's retiring. Why? How could somebody at his age, at the prime of his life, a superb athlete, just retire after you have to shock? When did you know of a time in our lives where 30-year-old men, athletes, have to go to the emergency to shock their heart back into compliance?
Yeah, no, I agree. That's fascinating.
And that NFL lineman that you just spoke about is a tragic circumstance because, as you said, he died in a heap. Specimen, and he just died. He's a specimen of health, and he died. Why?
Let's do this. My guest today, Dr. Paul Alexander, if you're just joining us, we're taking a look at the spike in sudden death amongst people who've had the vaccines. And I'm not here to just want to give you a balanced look at this issue.
Yes.
Why are we seeing this? And then, of course, have you had any side effects after having your COVID vax? I mean, we're hearing about clotting and a whole litany of other things. Let's grab a call or two for you, doctor. Janet is listening in Reno, Nevada. Janet, hi. You're on the air with Dr. Alexander.
God bless you both.
Thanks.
Love you, Drew.
Thank you.
Love you. Yes, I'm an elderly lady, 76 years old, in January this month. And I had the COVID vaccine, Pfizer, number one. Number two, last one was March of 21. And 3 weeks later, I had two blood clots in my right lung. I felt like I was having a heart attack when it happened. You know, I went to the emergency room by ambulance. They didn't find it right away because they didn't do the right test, okay? So I lived with that for about three more weeks until they finally did the right test. I was very fortunate, very fortunate. And I had a complete workup with infectious disease, hematology. They did genetic testing on me, so they wanted to determine, you know, if that was a factor. It wasn't. I've been perfectly healthy, you know, all my life. So now I can't have any boosters. I don't want any now, of course. But they told me no more boosters because it's related to the vaccine.
All right, Janet, let me put you on a hold for a second. Go ahead, doctor. I'll let you respond to her. You heard
look,
her case.
Look, first of all, look, let me, okay, I'm a purist scientist hack. I'll tell it to you this way. As an academic scientist, what we're seeing is that COVID emerged as much as a respiratory illness, and we talk about serious, severe COVID, as much as is a blood clotting illness, in the sense that, in the sense that, particularly after the vaccine, what we're seeing is that the vaccine generates what we call microthrombi, microclots throughout the blood, throughout the body. And these clots could only be picked up with a particular test called a D-dimer. That is capital D hyphen D-I-M-E-R. If I tell the listeners, it's the D-dimer test. It tells you if there are clots in the system. And these clots are often asymptomatic because they are microthrombi. They're very, very tiny post-vaccine. But if they get dislodged, you could get a stroke and die. And I'll tell you a story. One of my kids' pediatricians, she's a personal friend. So about 2 years ago, she called me and she said, just as the shots came out, she said, Paul, I'm going to get them and stuff. What's your take? Because she knew my work with Trump and all of that in the administration.
Right.
And I said, look, we're beginning to get a lot of data that's telling us that we have a problem. with the mRNA shots. And she said, well, you know, the Ministry of Health already told us we have to take it. And I'm a clinician, and I think I'm comfortable enough. I'm going to take it. So I said, well, it's your decision. This is a personal decision you're making. You weigh your risk level. Okay, about a month ago, she called me to say, Paul, I'm in the emergency room. I have massive chest pains after about the fourth shot. I can't breathe. And I'm a doctor. She's telling me that. She said, Paul, I'm a clinician. And these people don't know what they're doing. Something is very wrong with me. What can you tell me to see if I can get them to do here? I said, well, the only thing I can tell you, did they do a D-dimer? And she said, no. And I said, tell them to do a D-dimer to see if you're clotting. And, you know, she called me back about 2 hours later to tell me that they ran the D-dimer and told her, you have elevated blood clots, way elevated. Wow. And they started immediately to put her on heparin. Get people need to listen. Tell your doctor post-shot, especially young persons, do a D-dimer test to see if there are clots in your system. Wow. Because then they could put you on heparin, whatever the blood thinning medications, to begin dissolving. And that's all I could tell you.
Yeah, you know what's amazing, too, to Janet's comments and to what you just shared? I heard those who are doing some post-mortem stuff, autopsies, they found long strands of clotting in the veins of a lot of people. So this is also a clotting disease, you're saying. That's fascinating.
Yes. No, COVID, the end-stage COVID, people who have terminal COVID, like severe COVID that ends in organ dysfunction and death, are people who die principally from it's the blood clots that prevent, that cause a serious, serious problem with the gas exchange, etc. So that's the issue.
Well, doctor, we've got a registered nurse in Las Vegas, Nevada, joining us. I think she's seen a couple deaths as a result of this already. Tracy, good afternoon. You're on the air with Dr. Alexander.
Hi, thank you. And Dr. Alexander, I just can't thank you enough for everything that you've done in the last 2 years. I've been following you, and you are becoming a saint, my friend. So thank you so much for all of your work and willing to take the craziness that is constantly coming at you. So thank you, first of all.
But you're on the front line. You are the hero, not myself. Drew, you.
Well,
people like you,
I'll tell you, we're all
line.
In this together, you know. It's just, but I'm just, it's just been a crazy 2 years. But my husband and I own a sports training center, and I do functional medicine. In our training center, we have never used a defibrillator in the 16 years we have been open. We have had it out twice in the past 4 months.
Wow.
With young athletes. They both survived, thank God, okay? But just this past week in Las Vegas, two athletes, high school athletes, both died of cardiac arrest in 1 week. So we're seeing this everywhere. But my question to you is, and I don't know, you know, how you handle it, but when I'm trying to sound the alarm, all you get is like, you're out of your mind. Like, it's just normal. Mm-hmm. It happens. It's a coincidence. So what can you say about that to people when you are seeing the statistics as a doctor, you understand what's happening? What can you, you know, what insights can you give to those of us listening that we want to sound the alarm and help people?
Well, look, that's the principal question, because that's why a lot of us were canceled and blocked and canceled off of Twitter, Facebook, whatever. So we turned to like writing Substacks. I go on interviews like Drew. Whole day. I did about 4 already for the day.
Wow.
You know, you go wherever you could go, where you get. I went on Bannon. I went on Peters, Stu Peters. I'm going on every show that I could go. Dr. Drew. I went on Dr. Drew. So we have to reach across the aisles too, because we can't just stay on one side.
Right.
This is a Republican and Democrat problem. This have no politics in it. So people need to understand that. We are trying to save lives. And the best that I could say, ma'am, is people like yourself, because you appear on top of the literature too, and you're an expert, you have to keep sharing, talking, sharing, writing as much as you can. And if you could get interviewed by people, interview, because that's the only way. Because remember, they have blocked the legacy media principally from us. So we need every option, like Drew, etc., so that we could get the information out. Because I'll tell you, the public is listening. They are ready. They want this information. But I'll tell you, people are scared because they're not I don't think we're fully ready to understand that between the governments, between the alphabet health agencies, and between the vaccine companies, we were lied to. We were lied to. We brought a vaccine, a gene injection platform, whatever you want to call it, in 4 or 5 months that needed 15 years. And up to today, we do not know how safe it is, and we are seeing that it is causing death. That is a problem. So we need to stop it. This vaccine, this gene injection must be stopped. No child must get this. No healthy American child. None. There's no reason for it. No basis.
Dr. Alexander, you're talking about this being a gene therapy then? I mean, what does it do? How does it change? Does it change one's DNA?
Well, when we say it's gene therapy, remember it's a strand of messenger RNA. If you're using the mRNA platform, Pfizer, Moderna, that inducing your cells to translate the spike protein, and then your immune system will build the antibodies to it.
Yeah.
And then the adenoviral vector platform, which they actually deliver DNA that eventually also ends up in the spike protein. The spike protein is the end result.
Yes.
They have used genetic material to get there. The problem is they've done a bunch of things to the genetic material, like the mRNA, that we've never seen before. We've never used this as a vaccine before. This is brand new. So we don't have no experience and no example of how it will work. But they've done things to the mRNA, let's say the genetic material, to stabilize it inside of you, to keep it long-term. So, for example, the mRNA strands that are translated to the spike protein, they've placed molecular caps on the end so that they don't degrade, that the mRNAs in your cellular level don't destroy them. Because normally, these things are like one-off, and they get dissolved after an hour or two in the system. Now we are finding like mRNA and spike 16 months post-shot, 16 months post-infection too. So we know what's happening. We know that it's very stable, particularly on the mRNA model.
Right.
They've done some things with the strand itself. They've removed the uracil, putting a methylated pseudo-uracil, and that hides it from the immune system. That's the key. Your immune system would normally take this shot and consider it as foreign and attack it and destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
It can't right now because the mRNA has stuff done to it that it deceives your immune system, and then they put it in this lipid ball, this fatty ball called a lipid nanoparticle, to further hide it and to stabilize it.
Wow.
So they've done a lot of bad things to us. That's the only way I could say. They've done bad things, and we need accountability, and we need this properly investigated.
Well, I hope that comes to light. Dr. Nick is listening in New Mexico, and I'll let him join the conversation as well. Doctor, you're on the air with Dr. Alexander. Good afternoon.
Hi. I hope you can hear me. There's a lot of background noise. When the vaccine came out, the German Parliamentary Commission on Health held a hearing, and the doctors from the German Department of Health, the Ministry of Health, and the university specifically stated that the vaccines were going to provoke a permanent genetic modification on humankind, all of us that took the vaccine. Permanent, including infertility, including heart disease, nervous issues, renal issues, etc. I will not go into detail. All doctors know the connection between the kidneys, the heart, the thyroid, and the thymus in terms of immunology, etc., etc.
Well,
point number two.
There
was a paper published by the Pasteur Institute in Paris in French. I speak French. I read it. It was cancelled.
Wow.
One of the fellows said, "This is a man-made virus. It took pieces of SARS, HIV, and other viruses, avian flu, etc. It was devised to basically provoke what we are seeing as we speak."
Well,
Dr. Nick,
thank you very much. Dr. Alexander, I want you to respond to him. That's a pretty bold call.
I think your caller is actually, he should have led this call because everything that he just said is what we're beginning to we've understood this about 2 years now. That's why people like Dr. McCullough and Rich and myself have been out front screaming for anyone who could listen, because what he said is absolutely correct. And the gene injection, this injection is subverting the immune system. It's not just, this is the point. It's not just causing side effects like blood clotting, bleeding, Guillain-Barre, paralysis, myocarditis, pericarditis. We are seeing that the research now is being published to show that it is actually subverting and damaging the natural innate and acquired adaptive immune system. That means it's damaging your immune system that was formerly functional and protective to you. You are ending up with this shot vulnerable, post-shot. So what your caller just said, you see, when we have the proper hearings, he should be in the courtroom also, prosecuting these people, because what they did here, look, you said balance before, and you're correct. We have to have balance. But remember, we let them bring the shot. Yeah. Well, so this was their best shot.
Yeah. Hey, Dr. Nick, thank you very much for your call and for the insight. I'm grateful for your contribution. Fascinating. I'm curious, can we detox from this? Dr. Nick says, you know, we're forever changing, you know, the human race. Is there a way to reverse the effects of this, or are they permanent?
Well, I mean, people like Dr. Pierre Corey, Dr. Paul Marek, et cetera, of FLCCC, they worked with people like myself, Zelenko, Dr. McCullough in the past. We had framed up that early treatment model. They have placed on the FLCCC site a detoxification program where a lot of therapeutics that could be found over the counter are listed, which could aid towards trying to reverse the effects of the spike protein. And I think the principal answer to you then is this: if somebody has taken one shot so far, look, it depends on your risk profile too. And I mean, a person has to make their own decision. But look, the evidence is clear. We are in XBB 1.5 variant right now. Just came out of BA5 Omicron, mild. Common cold-like. If you are a healthy person, healthy, no underlying medical conditions, no grave underlying medical conditions, right, etc., and like you are 50 and under, 60 and under, let's say, I would say you would be very misguided and risky that you would take these shots at this point, given what you've seen, given the harms, given the fact. Yeah.
I hate to interrupt you, Doctor. I'm up against the clock. Let me just take a short pause. Right. When we come back on the other side, we'll pick it up. If you're on hold, I'll get you on the air. If you're just tuned in, we're speaking today to Dr. Paul Alexander about the bizarre nature of what we're seeing with the COVID-19 vaccines now. Myocarditis, we're seeing sudden deaths, we're seeing blood clots, and much more. Appreciate the calls. Very wonderful contributions. Our conversation will continue right after this.
Insight and analysis right here. It's the Drew Mariani Show. Relevant Radio.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Sudden cardiac arrest is the leading cause of death in young athletes.
Get the facts, get the faith. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Thanks for joining us. Yeah, unbelievable stories. If you're just tuning in, we're taking a look at COVID-19 and the vaccines. And I got to tell you, my producer just sent me a story. The CDC is investigating a safety concern now linked to the Pfizer vaccine. They said this was just announced today, that they're investigating a safety concern linked to the use of the updated Pfizer COVID vaccine booster in seniors. And I don't know if you've been boosted or double boosted or what the word is, but we are seeing some strange things. There's a priest I know, his name is Father Looney, and Father Looney ended up getting his shot, and right after his second, it was either his first or his second shot, that he began to see a real change with his heart. And he went on YouTube the other day, or Twitter, wherever he was, and he made a post, a video, saying, hey, I can't even get up to get water. My heart rate goes from 140 to 170. And he actually shot this video right after he got out of the hospital. Here's Father Looney. Listen.
So I called the emergency room. I said, I had the vaccine today. My heart rate as I'm laying in bed is 145 beats per minute. I got up to get a drink of water and it went up to 170, 180 beats per minute. And so they told me, well, there's really nothing we can do for you, but you know, if you can have someone observe you, that's all we're going to do. There's nothing, we don't know what to do for that. So they told me, don't come in. So essentially from that day onward, my heart rate has always been in the 100s. It's never gone back down. It was not like that before. So I could tell you that before, in November of 2020, I was exercising daily. I was away, actually. I was taking a little time away on a retreat. I was walking. I went to a nature path. I walked this nature path, and I literally could not get my heart rate high enough to count for exercise on my Apple Watch to close my Apple Circle. So that's how, you know, my heart, I looked at medical records from the past. My pulse when I would go into the doctor was 65, 62, you know, it was in the 60s. It was a normal heart rate. But since 2021, my heart rate has always been in the 100s.
Wow, absolutely amazing. That's a Catholic priest from the Diocese of Green Bay. It's good to be back here with you. I'll take a few more of your calls. Dr. John Littell now joins me. He was with us before. He was one of those great contributors during the height of the pandemic. And he was a lone voice. I said this last time he was on. He was not an advocate of wearing a mask. He didn't think that they were effective. And we've seen the impact they've had on kids. When it comes to the vaccine, he has a very unique perspective as well, and he joins us right now. He practices medicine down in Florida. And, Doctor, it's good to have you back. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Always good to be with you, Drew. And, you know, the topic is near and dear to my heart, as you well know. And I'm glad to be in a state, Florida, where we have our Surgeon General and others actually investigating what happened with Pfizer and Moderna and these vaccines, what they've allowed to get away with. We hope the other states and the rest of the world follow suit.
Yeah, we were told, you know, there were guys like Dr. Jay Bhattacharya and others who were regulars on this show who were vaccinated. I have friends who are physicians that are vaccinated. And, you know, all the evidence at the time indicated that the vaccine was safe. There might have been a small ethical concern. And the church actually spoke out regarding that. Was the American people and really the world lied to? Is that what's happening here? Your thoughts on, you know, why they would push something so experimental? Now we're seeing, you know, this incredible rate of myocarditis, people dying, blood clots, all sorts of other strange illnesses after being vaccinated.
Well, you know, I made a bunch of YouTube videos at the very beginning, and unfortunately, they were all taken down. And yep. Even when I quoted from the CDC's own site about the mechanism of action of messenger RNA vaccines, you have to recall they actually changed the definition of vaccines once these were rolled out. Vaccines were never genetic engineering technology that usurped our body's ability to fight something in a natural way. And I can go on and on. I have some good. These were never vaccines. These are messenger RNA modifications of our within the nuclei of our cells, which are basically allowing the unmitigated propagation of spike protein throughout the body, and then saying, okay, go to town, body, go see if you can fight these infections. And you're basically overburdening an immune system, which in many cases, in many people, created massive inflammation, microthrombosis, which is small blood clots, which went to various organs, particularly the heart, creating scar tissue, leading to myocarditis, other inflammatory conditions, small clots in the brain, leading to what they call brain fog, but in worst cases, premature memory loss, stroke. So there's a lot out there, Drew, that has not been reported that will be reported.
All right, let me do this. Let's jump back into the phones. We'll take calls. And my gratitude to everybody who's waiting. I know you've been waiting a while. I'm going to try my very best to get you on. Let me start with Lori, who's been holding the longest, I think. Lori, good afternoon. Thank you for calling us in Madison.
Hi. I have noticed in our area here, we've had several young men, people that I've known, and they've also passed suddenly in their sleeps. and they have had autopsies, and all they can find is that they've had an enlarged heart.
Wow.
Is that any correlation to any of this?
Thank you very much, Laura. Great question.
Yeah, no, it is a great question. The cardiomyopathy, disease of the muscle of the heart, is well reported now. And what's happening is you get initially what we heard about with this priest and even firefighters that came to see me who were given the vaccine, and they'd have these rapid heart rates or palpitations for a long period of time in some cases. Well, ultimately, this is all because of the inflammatory condition in the heart muscle, which creates a rhythm problem. When that heart muscle gets diseased and creates scar tissue, you also are predisposed to enlarging of the heart or cardiomyopathy. So, no, this would definitely be a finding that could well be attributed. And, you know, and believe me, I'm not somebody who's out there saying that every heart condition, but the problem is we're seeing so much of it in so many young people, and especially in this context of people coming into even my office saying, my heart rate and my blood pressure is out of whack, and it's directly tied to the vaccine.
Yeah, and well, let me ask you about this, too, because I want to be careful. Everyone who's gotten a vaccine right now, I don't want them to be totally panicked.
Right.
I know a lot of people who've been vaccinated, they don't seem to have any health concerns right now. Are these anomalies? Is this a fraction or a portion of the vaccinated population that are having the inflamed hearts or the blood clots or the other issues that are now being reported? Or is this a concern fundamentally for anyone who's gotten Pfizer or Moderna or J&J?
I think the way to look at this, Dr. Peter McCullough, a very good friend of mine, spoke to him today for a half hour in Texas, cardiologist, said that we've all agreed if you've gotten the first two Pfizers, the first two Modernas, kind of bury that right now, just kind of, unless you're suffering and have been from the time of those shots, which we've seen people. But if you've been able to escape it, what that means essentially is that your immune system was able to overcome this massive, massive production of spike protein. God bless you. You survived that onslaught. A lot of people had the high fever and chills and whatever. They felt miserable. So God bless you. You got through this, and that's good. And maybe keep your vitamin D levels up over 50. I always recommend that to people. But the people who are getting sickest now are the ones who got the boosters. The boosters, when we knew darn well that we had moved past the Alpha and Delta variants and they were still quote-unquote boosting. These are not boosters at all. They were continuing to propagate the more dangerous, lethal variants with the boosters. We had moved past that as a society. That was criminal. That was really criminal behavior.
Doctor, and I want to get right back to the phones, but here, I'm curious, as you're talking about people overcoming this whose immune systems were, attacked this, a strange phenomena happened after a lot of people got these vaccines. There were swollen lymph nodes under the arm and the necks. People were getting them in very different places. What was that all about? And is that the body's response for trying to overcome this?
Absolutely. Yeah, every lymph node in your body, including the spleen, will enlarge or certainly will react to the spike protein. Now, whether they enlarge is dependent on the individual. So this is what is expected when you unleash a messenger RNA. You put this in, and it literally, just like the virus, it propagates throughout every cell in the body practically and tells the body that you're now under assault. This is also why we saw an emergence of cancers in people who previously had suppressed those cancers with their immune system. Now the immune system was being taken away. It's almost like a battle strategy in a war. You kind of get everybody going after one area, and then you're able to unleash an assault elsewhere in the body. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, very, very troubling that this came up in so many people, and we're seeing it now.
Rob is in Rogers City, Michigan. He's got a question for you. Rob, good afternoon.
Hi, yes, Drew. My question is, what about an unvaccinated person? Maybe you got to go in for a surgery at the hospital and you need to get given blood. Are you in danger of from the vaccinated blood by chance?
Great question. Dr. Ryan Cole, a pathologist, very good friend of mine. We had this conversation 2 nights ago about the blood supply. He's run blood banks. This is all we are saying right now is there is no way right now to truly be able to identify blood that is not quote-unquote tainted blood. Now, I don't want people out there to worry. I had a patient just yesterday right across the street need a unit of blood. He's got an active bleed. And we have to kind of basically hope and pray that the donor system, well, first of all, let's hope and pray that people stop getting these boosters and that over time the spike protein will clear from the blood. So the answer to the question is if you need blood, do not refuse blood. I know people who are doing that right now, And I mean, we let it go quite low, but right. you can actually have worse health consequences.
So will this, you know, purge itself out of somebody's system? If they said, oh, wow, I got it 2 years ago and I really regret that. Does the body purge that spike protein?
You know, Drew, that is the question that we're all trying to answer, and nobody has a clear answer. I believe with lifestyle, I mean, clearly, you know, yep. if you just get more circulatory stimulation, obviously aerobic exercise. There are people who are pushing hyperbaric oxygen. You know, a lot of people doing a lot of things out there regularly to try to cleanse their body of the toxins. But can I say this real importantly?
Sure, please.
Real importantly. Wow, I am seeing so many people who are convinced that they are diseased. And they're not. So the hard part that I have as a doctor looking at the whole person is, okay, how many people have been struggling even before they had the COVID vaccine? So if you're somebody who was struggling with chronic illness, fatigue, pain before the vaccine, it's possible it might put you over the edge. But realize this is very complex, all right? Right now we're mostly talking about otherwise young, healthy people, athletes and others who are dying or getting blood clots and arrhythmias, the priest you talk to. These are different. These are people who are otherwise incredibly healthy, and then they end up getting the jab and they get sick. So those folks, we do need to take a hard look at.
All right, well, let me do this, doctor. I have to take another short pause, one of the last ones of the show. When we come back, if you're on hold, I'll jump right back into the phones, let you get your question on the air to Dr. John Littell. Just doing a follow-up right now on COVID, heart failure, and all these sudden and unexpected deaths. People dying in their sleep, people dying on football fields. It's just strange. We'll look at that and more right after this. Stay with me.
You know, we receive over a million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor could support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show is on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, hey, thanks for joining us. Boy, time does fly, right? Keeps slipping by. I don't know where it goes. I wish I could hang out with you. I'll be back again tonight. I'll be praying the rosary with with Maggie. Father Rocky's away. I'm going to be sitting in for Father Rocky. But I've got a few minutes left today, and I want to grab a few more calls. If you're just joining us, I saw a headline. It was a great question. It says, why do vaccinated people represent most COVID-19 deaths right now? Right? Why? So I thought, no, let's reach out to Dr. John Littell, good friend of the program. He's been here for a long time, and he knows Dr. Alexander and Dr. McCullough and Malone and so many others, and he's been following this for years. He's here to answer your calls and your questions. So, Dr. Littell, let's jump right back into to the calls. Maggie, who's up next? Is it Christine, or did we hit that already? Let me see. Let me go to Christine. She is listening to us here in Chicago, Illinois. Christine, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. God bless you, and thank you all for your service, and God bless Relevant Radio. And I must tell you that I agree with 1,000,000% with Father Looney. I understand what he's going through. Okay. I had a similar problem going on, and it can still happen. And, of course, the doctors don't seem to know what to do with that. This happened started happening really after my first booster. The first two shots were, like, just fine. And the third one was starting to give me a reaction like I got with my smallpox vaccination years ago, which almost killed me.
Okay.
So luckily I made it through after the booster. And just because it didn't show terrible signs, it was considered, oh, well, you know, like maybe I'm being a big baby or something.
All right.
People just look at, yeah.
So, Christy, do you have a question for the doctor?
I quit. No more booster. I agree with that lady that you were speaking to, that 78-year-old. Yeah. I also am 78. And no more boosters for me. I choose to just stay distant and mask up.
Okay.
Be isolated, and God bless you.
Thank you, Christine.
That are working on this, I thank God for you.
I appreciate it.
Christine, this is Dr. Littell. Dr. Littell here. Can I talk to you like you were my patient for 30 seconds? Please don't isolate yourself. Don't mask up. Live a normal life, please. If you're doing those things, you are succumbing to this pandemic of fear that is actually what is driving the whole train. You need to live your life, and actually being exposed in a small dose to normal germs, like when you're around your grandkids, and just live the normal life. We went through a hellacious time in this country where we isolated grandchildren from their grandparents and kept kids out of school, out of playgrounds. So the masks do no good, and isolation is not necessary unless you yourself have a really high fever and you're sick. Then you can stay away from a couple of other people. I get that.
Gotcha.
But please, get out and live a normal life.
Christine, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Margaret's listening in Clinton, Utah. Hi, Margaret. Good afternoon.
Hi. I had a question. I had the Novavax, and I was wondering if that would affect you the same way, because you have to have the two shots, plus you have to have a pill 2 months later. And I was concerned about that affecting my health.
Real quick. You don't have to worry about the microclots. To this day, to this point, we've not seen the microclots. We've not seen the inflammatory issues with Novavax. Can I make it very clear? Nobody on January 13, 2023, nobody needs any of these vaccines anymore. That has to be screamed loud and clear from the highest mountaintop. Nobody needs any vaccines. Wow. Against coronavirus. It's become nothing more than a common cold. So if you've had Novavax, good decision perhaps at the time. It's more of a traditional
vaccine. Well, and Novavax is not Novavax is not an mRNA vaccine, right?
It's more along the lines of hepatitis B and even the whooping cough vaccine. They took protein, little units of the more traditional vaccine.
So,
very, very good.
I'm sorry, doctor, I don't want to interrupt you, but are the deaths related only to mRNA vaccines?
Thus far, yes. Thus far, everything we have heard is, and everything I've seen clinically, well, first of all, I've had very few people with Novavax. We might find some different data. Also, keep in mind, Novavax did have an association with fetal stem cells, so there's that secondary issue.
Right.
But no, we have not seen, and frankly, the volume with Novavax is like one umpteenth of what we've seen with Pfizer and Moderna, and even to that extent, J&J.
Just to go a little tangential on you here, just for a second, because right now I had a call for somebody to pray for them during the chaplet there. In real trouble, strep A went bad on them. And Dr. Robert Tabali, who's a friend of the program here, you know, he's warning about how this is now spreading. And then we know RSV, too. That is spreading like wildfire. Will we see a vaccine for RSV? Are we going to see more of a push for vaccinations?
I think what you're going to see. Oh, I know what you're going to see. Absolutely.
And, Doctor, I want to qualify something, because when I say this, I'm not anti-vaccine. Believe me. Yeah, no. You know what I mean? But I think the type of vaccine we're talking about, we have to be careful. Draw these distinctions. I don't want people to think we're anti-vaccine, but certain vaccines you really have to really take pause to. And I'm asking you, are they necessary, like the one for RSV?
RSV is a self-limited viral illness in adults. The only reason we're even talking about it is because everybody's out there shoving swabs in people's noses and telling them whether they have influenza or coronavirus, COVID, or RSV, and people get panicked. So, no, they're going to capitalize. Glaxo is already capitalizing on the panic. They're going to roll out an RSV vaccine for adults next year. It'll be a multi-billion-dollar boon for them. Influenza vaccines have been notoriously useless over the last 30 years. I'm going to be honest about that. And we know the coronavirus vaccines. So I'm just telling you, the vaccine industry is suspect at best. And so please, you know, and especially with children, be really careful with your kids and most vaccines. There's a couple of really good ones, and I can go over that, but really be careful, folks. This is a rough, I'm seeing it every day in my office. There's a lot of profiteers and charlatans in this world of healthcare, and God, it makes it so much harder to get people to trust
certainly
their
doctors. Certainly does. Doctor, I only got a couple moments left, so I'm going to put the pedal to the metal here. Paula in Jacksonville, Florida, good afternoon.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. My question is, I was diagnosed with breast cancer last year, and they actually found two sites with two different cancers.
Wow.
I had gotten the vaccine, and thank you so much for all of your prayers on Relevant Radio. And I'm doing well. Thank the dear Lord. I had gotten just the first vaccine and then the booster probably 8 months before. As part of the treatment that I went through with breast cancer, they asked me to do genetic testing, and we found out that I have a genetic mutation also that predisposes me to breast cancer. It's not the BRCA one, but it's a different one.
Paula, I just have a minute left. Are you asking if the vaccine played a role in this cancer?
Exactly, okay. Exactly.
Dr. Littell, I'm going to let you respond. I don't mean to cut her off, but I have about 60 seconds at the most.
No, I totally understand. You know, we have part of our immune system is designed to suppress oncogenes or prospective cancer cells in our body. Mm-hmm. All right. When these spike proteins were unleashed, we literally took them off duty. They were put off duty. And people who previously had even a past history of cancer or were you're genetically predisposed, all the more reason why you needed to keep those sentry antibodies on duty, protecting you from cancer. So I mean, it's over, it's done. Just like when we deal with women who've had abortion and breast cancer, whatever. Yep. God bless you. You are in our prayers. You're doing the right thing, and just stay away from any more boosters, as you know.
Doctor, I'll have you back again. We're going to talk about it next week. If you are listening right now, I'm going to do a show on how to detox from that spike protein, if that's possible. We'll take a look at those type of treatments. Doctor, if people want to check you out, it's johnlittellmd.com, right? Or best way to go?
Best way to go, John Littell, two T's, two L's, MD.com. Good videos out there.
God bless you. I'll be back.